It came as a shock on Thursday morning when we saw over 1,100 new coronavirus cases in El Paso. What's been the reaction to that, Bob?
I think people are frightened. They're annoyed. And they kind of have just given up any sense of normalcy here. People just don't know how to respond. But it's clear that we're in the midst of a public health catastrophe. Even though we went above 1,000 cases for the first time today, this is not the end of it. I don't think numbers are going down anytime soon. We've seen a breakdown in a number of the key areas that we know control the spread of COVID-19, some on the individual level, like wearing masks, and then others on the governmental level, like contact tracing. The city's effectiveness at contact tracing by its own data has just collapsed. They're only contacting about 2 in 5 people identified as potentially being exposed to COVID-19 within 48 hours. And that means those people are out walking around and potentially spreading the virus elsewhere. I just can't stress enough what just a catastrophe this is.
And what's the hospital situation like at this point?
The hospitalization numbers have actually ticked down a little bit for the last couple of days, but that's not going to sustain. As the people today, for example, progress through the course of their illness, in a week or so, many of them will start going to the hospital. Many of them will wind up in the ICU, and sadly, a number of them are going to die. The hospitals are nearing capacity. There was a report out of UT Austin that there's an extreme likelihood that El Paso will exceed its hospital capacity within the next 3 weeks, and then we're going to have to scramble. I think the closest analogy I can think of that people might be familiar with is what happened in the Rio Grande Valley this summer when cases just spread out of control there, hospitals overflowed, and morgues overflowed. It's a frightening prospect, but we have to brace ourselves for it.
Despite that, record turnout in early voting continues.
Yeah, so yeah, obviously El Pasoans are concerned about going out and voting in person and the risk that might entail, but they're doing it. And so it looks almost certain that by the end of this week that we will have surpassed the early voting turnout for 2016, which is the most we've ever had in El Paso. That was about 151,000 people voting early that year. And then we still have another full week of early voting to go this year. I think it's increasingly likely that by the time early voting ends here on October 30th, El Paso will have surpassed its entire 2016 turnout of about 218,000 voters. I think it's increasingly likely that we'll see a grand total after polls close on November 3rd of about 250,000 to 260,000 voters, which is just a huge increase in turnout, and it's good for El Paso. It's good to see that we're having the kind of turnout that's more reflective of our community, despite the pandemic. And you know, it's be interesting to see what would have happened had we not been facing a pandemic here.
School districts and their superintendents are certainly no strangers to controversy. There's a new one that has erupted in the El Paso ISD. What can you tell us about that?
This involves Superintendent Juan Cabrera, as well as former school board president Dory Fennenbach. The two of them have been points of controversy in the past over some of their dealings with groups in California and allegations a few years ago of steering bids to favored vendors out in California. This time, there's been a lawsuit filed in California alleging that they defrauded potential investors in a charter school that they were trying to start here in Texas. The lawsuit alleges that Mr. Cabrera told the potential investors that he would resign as superintendent of the school district if they invested $5 million into his charter school. The lawsuit's still in its early stages. Mr. Cabrera and Mrs. Fennenbach have not responded to requests for comment. But I think the school board seems very on edge about what's happened here and are very concerned that the superintendent is placing his own personal business interests ahead of the district that pays him almost $500,000 a year in salaries and benefits.
Find these stories at elpasomatters.org. Bob, thank you very much.
Thank you, Casey.